Welcome back to It's a Definite Maybe, your favorite podcast ever with your favorite people ever, obviously. And we have a very interesting episode. Since we've announced that we are ending the podcast, we kind of wanted to tackle a few topics. That sounds really intense. We're not tackling topics. Just talk about a few things that's kind of coming next in life. And you guys can obviously keep up with us on social media post the end of the podcast. But Stella, you're looking at moving overseas.
I am.
I'm going to cry. I know. I'm going to cry.
Well, I'm not moving yet, so like calm down. Okay, good. Chill. Good. We've still got time.
I think in my head you're moving in like the start of January because you're like, oh, 2024. I'm like, oh my God, I've got like 2 months left.
Well, at this current point in time, the date that I'm thinking of is like start of April. So it's far off. Okay, but it's not January.
All right. I don't know why in my head it was January. I think just as soon as someone says like, oh, and the next new year. I'm like, oh my God, January. Because that's the only month that exists in the new year. but let's break it down. So rapid fire.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
So I have tossed up between a few different places.
Oh my God, have you?
Yeah.
I just thought it was London.
Well, so London has always been my front runner and I'll circle back around.
Oh my God.
So
this is new information to me, guys.
Recently,
I'm panicking.
When I went over to Europe, I went to Berlin for the first time. I went to Amsterdam again, and both of those cities absolutely loved. It so is in so many ways. It's also not in a lot of ways as well because I feel like Berlin's a very cool city. And
you're cool.
I'm cool, but I'm not.
You are cool.
I don't know if I'm Berlin cool.
Okay, well, if you're not Berlin cool, I don't have a fucking chance.
But I feel like I have parts of myself that are Berlin cool, and maybe if I was living in Berlin, I'd become Berlin cool.
You kind of like assimilate to the culture.
Yeah. So I feel like Berlin would be an awesome place to live. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely really high on my list. But obviously, as part of that, because it's in Germany.
You don't speak German.
Like, a lot of people speak English.
Yeah.
However, I would want to learn a bit of German to, like, help me get around. And if I'm doing traveling in other places in Germany as well, then it would definitely be a lot easier to know at least a bit of German. Yeah. And I feel like it's one of those things where if you're moving to a country where you don't speak the language, you should at least make an effort to speak the language. Even if you speak it really terribly, just make an effort.
Make an effort. Otherwise, it just feels really rude and selfish.
Exactly. Yeah. So not for me.
Okay.
If like as in not learning the language. So, but that would be a challenge of moving to Berlin. Same for Amsterdam. However, in Amsterdam, everyone speaks English. Like,
Amsterdam's
even more so
a lot
than Berlin.
More like English speaking friendly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of big companies that kind of come out of that region as well.
Yeah. Dutch is a fucking impossible language to speak. Like, it's so
especially
weird
if you're not good
and throaty and like a bizarre language. So,
yeah.
But I love the vibe of Amsterdam. Like, it's one of those cities where it just has this unique energy that I haven't experienced anywhere else. And mind you, I haven't traveled extensively throughout Europe, so I'm sure there would be other places that do have a similar vibe. But for me personally, the places that I've been to, Amsterdam has a very unique vibe, and I could definitely see myself living there.
See, I didn't love Amsterdam when I went.
Really?
I was like, I could never live here.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Not for me. I think it's because I'm not big into like the weed scene and it felt a little bit overwhelming with all the bicycles.
Yeah, but the bikes are a lot.
I was also only there for like 2 nights on Kentucky Tour, so it's a very different vibe.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was there for 4 nights.
See, that feels like a good amount of time.
Yeah. And so it allowed us to kind of explore a little bit and take it easy and chill and not just like cram in all of the touristy stuff. Because I'd also been to Amsterdam previously with my family. So it wasn't like I had to do everything because I hadn't done it before. I still did some touristy stuff, but we did just kind of like explore and wander and chill and, you know, let ourselves just be there, I guess. So I think that also makes a difference with the ability to see yourself living there. So Amsterdam would be really cool. However, okay, I'll circle back around. But London is a city that I keep being drawn to time and time again. As long as I remember, I've always loved London. Even before I went to London,
oh, wow.
I loved London. I don't know what it was about London that was just really exciting for me, but it was just always somewhere that I was really drawn to, always somewhere that was top of my bucket list to go to.
Yep.
And when I went there for the first time, I had the best time.
Yeah, okay.
And I could pretty easily see myself living there. So for me, London feels like kind of a cooler version of Melbourne.
I would say that, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like Melbourne. And more expensive. Oh, so expensive. Oh, my God. It feels like Melbourne in that it feels kind of livable in a lot of ways, and like the vibe and energy of London as a city
is very
aligned
with
me. You
would be able to get by easily enough.
Yeah, yeah. And like if you know that your city is expensive, you find ways to make it work if you're living there.
This is true.
So
you're not stupid about it. Like you would be really clever with what you're doing.
Yeah. You're just like, you're not eating out every day. Like you're doing what you can to keep your expenses down for groceries. And like you might need to live a little bit further out to save on rent or something like that. Like there are things that you can do to make it more affordable, I guess. Yeah. So London is always one that I keep coming back to. And it's so funny because I've had so many people in my ear being like, oh, but it's so like grey and the weather is miserable in London.
That's
so
just me.
Awful. And like, oh, it's so expensive and oh, it's so like busy all the time.
But like it is the like one of the epicenters of like the UK or Europe or like what I can't continent. I can't geography. Like whatever.
Well, I think it's just London has a certain energy that I'm really drawn to. And
it's got that hustle.
Yeah. And I've kind of gone back and forth because at times I have let people get in my ear and be like, yeah, well, it would be nice to move to somewhere that has nicer weather. And it would be nice to, you know, live somewhere where it's more affordable.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But the way that I see it is at this point in time, my plan is to go for a year. That's all. So I don't need to be somewhere where it's, you know, more affordable to set up a long-term life there. I'm not looking to set up camp there. I'm just looking to move overseas, challenge myself, experience what that's like to live in another country.
Yeah.
And just like fully send it for a year, basically.
Fuck yeah, send it.
But London has always been one of those places where I feel like I need to live there. Like there's something
you've got that
calling
pull.
Me there.
Yeah. I've got that about Canada.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Yeah. So it's like that for London for me. Mm. And I've got so many friends who are already living over there. So it would be super easy to transition because I would have kind of a support system already. Whereas if I was in somewhere like Berlin or Amsterdam, I don't know anyone there. So I have to start completely from scratch.
It's
and it's already going to be challenging
language.
Enough. Exactly. It's already going to be challenging enough moving overseas. I may as well put some things in my favor and have a little bit of a support system. They speak English there.
Pretty smart.
So, yeah, that's kind of where my head is at the moment.
Nice.
A long-winded way of saying I want to move to London.
And I think for people who are wanting to move overseas, myself included, like anyone who knows me knows that I will one day do it. I don't know when or how because it's kind of scary and overwhelming. But you're obviously starting the process. So what is your approach to finding a job, an apartment, visas, what's the kind of logistical stuff you've been going through or even telling your workplace that you're looking at moving?
Yeah. Well, luckily for me, the telling my workplace that I was thinking of moving was the easiest part and that kind of flows into the other parts as well because my workplace has an office in London.
Oh, my
God.
Okay.
Conversation,
so you're set.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, there's a lot of logistics that we need to work out and it's not necessarily like I've said that I want to move to London, therefore I am definitely moving to London with this company. Like there's still a lot of logistics and admin to work through around how exactly that would work. However, it does definitely play a lot in my favor that my current workplace has an office in London.
It's
so
very beneficial.
We can start setting things up. And my current workplace has already been talking for ages about doing a program where people are able to move to other studios across the world and experience what it's like being
That's
in those
cool.
studios and knowledge share, basically. So, yeah, that conversation was a relatively easy one because of the situation. If I could go with my current workplace, then obviously that would be ideal.
Convenient.
However, I've kind of said to myself that even if things don't work out with moving with my current workplace, I am still so motivated to go over there and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because the way that I see it.
You can just work it out when you get there.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I would move without a job in hand already.
Mm-hmm.
That's very much not for me. It would be way too stressful. Yeah. And I do have savings that I could use to support myself. However, with how weak the Australian dollar is compared to British pound, so at least at the moment, that might change in the next, you know, it fluctuates, but it might get even worse. I don't know. I am essentially cutting my money in half currently.
That's a really smart way to think about it.
Yeah. So I need to think about, if I was living in Australia, the savings that I have could get me X amount of time without working. However, if I'm in the UK, it's half of that time in theory. Obviously, there's, you know, the cost of expenses and all that sort of stuff to take into account. But essentially, that's what it is. So I am not the type where I'm just going to move and figure it out. Like, that's just very not me. So I think if things don't work out with my current workplace, then I would just explore other jobs.
I mean, there's recruiters.
There's online job listings. Yeah. So, like, people are posting about jobs.
We live in a good age for it.
Yeah. And Australia and the UK have a pretty good relationship. And we have a good working visa in place. So I feel like it would be relatively straightforward for me to get a job. So at the moment, I'm still having the conversation with my workplace about it, but that's not my only option, essentially.
That's exciting.
Because part of what's led to the decision to do it and to be so motivated to do it is I've never been in a better position to move.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like it's something that I've kept coming back to, and I've almost moved a couple of times in the past, but it just hasn't really panned out.
Yeah. This is like the right timing.
Absolutely. So now that I'm single, I don't have a mortgage, I don't have kids, I have grown a lot personally. I've lived alone by myself for a little while. I mean, it was a month, but, you know, it was still something. I feel like I'm more equipped now than I was years ago when I was originally exploring moving to London.
Totally.
To actually do it and to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it would be one of those things where if I didn't do it, I would always wonder what would have happened if I had.
What if?
And that tells me that I need to make it work somehow.
100%.
Like, it might look a little bit different than I have in my mind at the moment. Timings might work out to be a little bit different, or, you know, just what it looks like in general might be a little bit different, but I've put it out into the universe and I'm making it happen. Yeah.
And with the timing, you're pretty set on it being April.
Yes.
What was it that helped you decide how long you needed to, I guess, get everything in order or even just decide on a date? Because I think a lot of people who move overseas or think about moving overseas, including myself, are always like, oh, it's too hard. I'll do it eventually. Yeah, I'll do it eventually. And then 3 years go by. So what's helped you with that?
So I had a conversation with my best guy friend, Jackson. Shout out, Jackson, if you're
listening.
Shout
out, Jackson.
Hi,
Illy.
Pony, I miss you. Who's actually living in London at the moment.
Bless.
That's obviously like a big draw card because he's like a soul connection of mine. And the fact that we've been apart for this long is like very stressful for both of us.
This is how I feel when you're moving. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with myself?
I know. And that's obviously like a hard part of making the decision as well. I have so many incredible people who are here in Australia. My best friend is having a baby. And I just like, there's so much going on here that of course I would miss out on, but I need to just be a bit selfish and think of myself for a little bit.
I think so. I think you deserve it. You're a person that gives a lot to others, and it's time that you do something for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So how I decided on the date. So I was having a call with Jackson and chatting about my plans and what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And we kind of worked it out less so around, well, these are all the things that I would need to coordinate before I would actually go, which was probably would have been a good way to come up with the date that I did. However, the way that I came up with the date that I did
great,
was,
so not the conventional, easy, smart way.
No, my way was more like the, I'll explain, I'll go through the thought process. So the way that I thought about it was I want to be there for summer. and I want to be there for as many summers as I possibly can. So I want to make sure that I'm moving before June, July, so that I can really make the most of that time.
I also feel like it's slightly cheaper. Like it's slightly cheaper flying before peak season as well. Yeah,
and also just I want to be like settled by the time summer hits so that I can like be more in a groove and like really throw myself in rather than being like stressed about needing to coordinate things still.
Yeah.
So I want to be there for as many summers as possible. So I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'll move right before summer of next year.
Yep.
And so initially I was thinking of May, but then – that was when Jackson and his girlfriend Kelsey moved over to London, and he said he kind of wishes that they'd gone a little bit earlier. So he was like, well, why don't you go in April? We have a wedding that we're attending at the start of April, so I don't have anything after that point booked in currently. So I was like, okay, cool. Well, technically the earliest that I could go would be start of April next year. I could go straight after the wedding and then, you know, just be there. So I knew that I wanted to be there for a year as well. Plans might change as I go. I might fall in love with the place. I might meet my person, whatever. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in that year. A lot could happen in that
year. You're going to meet a London
boy. Who knows? I've always loved the British accent.
Something
who knows?
About a London,
but a lot could happen in a year. At the moment, I'm planning on just being there for a year. So I knew that I wanted to do like the festival circuit as well. And in Europe, that's around, you know, June through August generally. Like sometimes, June through August, more or less.
Yeah.
So I knew that I wanted to go around summer initially. I wanted to be there for that period. So I kind of mapped things out according to that. I also knew that I wanted to be back here for my birthday because I'm going to be turning 30, which is hectic.
Wait, something you'll go for less than a year? Because your 30th is not next January, but the Jan after.
No, no, no. So I would come back and visit for my 30th and like have a big party with all my friends here. I will have been gone for like, you know, 6 to 9 months by that time, depending on how the timings work out, and have a big party with my friends, celebrate my 30th, have a bit of a reunion type of thing, and then head back over. It'd be bloody expensive to get here over that time because it'll be like Christmas, New Year's time, but that's fine. I'll cop it.
Yolo.
And then head back over and then be there for the next 6 months into that summer and then kind of finish up with like the festival circuit and do a bit of traveling for maybe like a month or two or something like that, depending on how things are shaping up, and then come back home.
Oh my God.
And then I'll finish out the year and then, you know, see how I'm feeling after that.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's a really good plan.
Yeah. So that's the plan at the moment. We'll see how that goes because April is like less than six months away since the time that we're recording this, about six months away. Yeah, which is a little bit terrifying because there's a lot to coordinate. But I feel like it's one of those things where I'll be able to get things moving pretty quickly once things are more or less shaped up. So I just have to kind of stay on top of my research and keeping things progressing rather than just like sitting back and expecting things to happen. And then it's like, oh my God, 2 months have passed now. I'm going in theory in like 3 or 4 months and I have so much to coordinate. Oh my God, I'm terrified. So I want to keep staying on top of things.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like that's all the quiz questions I had for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot that, in terms of what I kind of wanted to talk about as well, there's a lot that kind of terrifies me about moving overseas.
Yeah.
Because this would be my longest time living out of home without my support network in, you know, really close proximity.
Yeah.
Because even when I've lived out of home in the past, I've always had my family close by and Dad's been able to run things over to me or, you know, I've had people around me to be able to support me as needed. Whereas moving overseas, I'm not going to have that.
No.
Which is a little bit terrifying.
Fully on your own.
Yeah. But it's also really exciting, I think. And I think for me personally, it's something that at this stage in my life I feel like is really necessary for me because I'm such a creature of comfort And it would be so easy for me to just like sit back and chill and just keep coasting and doing mm-hmm. what I'm doing now. But that's also so not who I am to just get comfortable and coast. Way. Like I like being comfortable, but only for a period of time. And so when I've had conversations with people about it and mentioned that I want to move overseas next year, one person said, oh, what, Melbourne doesn't have anything to offer you anymore? And I was like, at the moment, not really. Like, I could be really comfortable here, and I am really comfortable here, and I have a life, I have friends.
But it's easy.
I have things that I do. Exactly. But it's easy.
I feel that too. I feel bored.
I don't want to just cruise and coast in that easy, comfortable space.
And you can settle down here for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But it's like there's only so much time that you have where you don't have kids or a mortgage or a relationship to, or a pet or an aging parent. Like there's a reason people move overseas in their 20s and do these things in their 20s.
Exactly.
Because it's the time you have the money, but also not as much tying you down.
Yeah. And so that has definitely weighed very heavily on my decision to do it. And it just, it feels more right now than it ever has before. And I've said, since I brought up the conversation about potentially wanting to move overseas, I've always said, I want to do it as long as it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard. And I think this is the thing. It's so difficult sometimes to differentiate between what's hard and what's wrong, because there are certain things that are difficult, but that doesn't mean that it's the wrong thing. But there are also some things that are difficult because they're the wrong thing, and so you're having to force things. So I think the perspective that I'm going into this is I don't want to force anything, but I'm still going to have to put in work to make it work.
It's not going to be easy, because if it was, more people would do it.
Exactly. And the whole point of moving overseas is it's going to be a challenge. And if it was easy, then, you know, I'm not going to get as much out of it as
you won't grow
I feel I need to. Yeah. And one of the biggest times where you experience the most growth is when things are really difficult and when you're pushed to your limits, when you're uncomfortable, when you're really challenged, that's when you see what you're really made of.
You got to dig deep and make it work.
Absolutely. You've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and really lean
put that on
into
a t-shirt.
My life motto, you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And just really lean into that challenge because that's where you see what you're really made of and you realize how capable you are. And then you look back at the end of that experience and you're like, fuck, I did that.
Hell yeah.
I fucking nailed that.
Get
and
it,
I
girl.
Have me to thank for that.
Fuck
I did that. So, yeah.
Nice. That's exciting. I'm excited for you. Now I'm excited because I want to move overseas now.
Yay.
It worked out.
Well, I can be the example and then you can do it at some point in the future.
My mum listening to this being like, why do you want to move overseas for? My work friends listening to this being like, hey, don't you need a job? So anyway, we'll work on that.
You'll make it work. You'll make it work.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's good. Well, I think that's it for today. Thank you guys for listening. I think this is a really fun episode and something we've been holding on to for a little while. So it's exciting and nerve-wracking to get it into the universe.
Yeah.
But obviously, keep
Gotta
up with us.
Got to put it out into the universe to make it work, though.
Manifest that shit.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, keep up with us on socials, both on the podcast as well as Stella and myself. Everything will be in the description box, show notes, section, thingo, links, all of that stuff.
And as always, remember to rate, review, subscribe, whatever you can do wherever you're listening to this right now. Do those things. We really appreciate it. Send this around to a friend. If you're thinking of moving overseas and want to have the conversation with your family, maybe you can be like, oh, I was listening to this really cool episode. You should have a listen to it. And, oh, wow, maybe I want to move overseas. Could be a conversation starter. Who knows? Otherwise, we are excited, as always, to take you along with us another time as we talk about other areas of life that might not have a one-size-fits-all approach on It's a Definite Maybe. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.